Lord is risen.
He is risen from
me. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, God's Son, is risen from the dead. He died and is alive forevermore. He's broken death's stronghold upon us and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we're free. We're alive in Him. And Jesus promised in the last chapter of Matthew, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. We believe this. But at the same time, I think sometimes it's difficult for us because we're believing that someone is with us that we can't physically, visibly see. We can't see him. That can be problematic or troubling for us, that someone's with us and yet he's out of our physical sight. And we ask, is God still with me? Even though I can't actually see him. So today I'd like to talk with you about seeing God, and in particular about seeing his face. Why can't we see God this morning? Can we see God this morning? When will we see God? Will we see God? Is God with me even though he's not visible to my physical eyes? So let's look at this morning about these things that we may be confident in him as his people. What can we learn from Scripture about seeing God's face, about seeing the face of God? Well, the first thing I think we can note is that the face is really the most important thing to see on anyone. Wouldn't you agree? In Acts chapter 20, let's consider Paul's experiences. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, and then in verse 24, he says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And what was the response of the Christians to this word he had? It says, and when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. It's a touching piece of Scripture, isn't it? And it testifies to this, that the face of our loved ones is really the most important thing about them, isn't it? Paul spoke to them many things, warned them, encouraged them, taught them. But the thing that troubled their hearts the most was that they'd see his face no more. Beth's face brightens my day, my whole day. And that's what endears me to her. Perhaps that's why I first fell in love with her and still fall in love with her every day, because it's in her face that I see the depth of her. Of Beth. I see her hope, her compassion, her kindness, her emotions, her sorrows, her joys, and it endears me to her. Her face. I enjoy her little finger too, or other parts of her body, but it's her face that excites me. Photographs. It's usually of the face, isn't it? I have a picture here of the two of us, and in fact, Beth always tells me when I take a picture of her, nothing from the hips down. It's always going to be above the waist, nothing below the hips. Maybe it's just a woman thing, I don't know. But the face is the important thing, right? Did you know that human beings are the only creatures that God made that make love face to face? God designed it so. Think of children. When you first brought home your newborn from the hospital and you looked into that little one's face and you studied it and tried to see all the details of your little child. And then children are designed, actually, infants, to see clearly at about 12 inches from the face, that they can look up and study all the expressions of their parent. A face is so special. It says in Proverbs 15, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. Emerson said, the eyes are the windows of the soul. The whole face is so expressive. And so I think you'll maybe agree with me, some of the problems with modern communication that we have, from the telephone to the answering machine to the email to the texting, to the Facebook. I mean, it's called Facebook, and yet it's so non-face-to-face. You know what I mean? Remember the Jerry Seinfeld joke where he's calling someone, and the person actually answers the phone. He says, "I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to your answering machine. What's this all about?" We've become so non-face-to-face and personal as a culture with family and friends and acquaintances and community, and I think we suffer for it. You know, John the Apostle in his third letter said to the people he's writing, "I had much to write to you, but I'd rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face-to-face." John didn't even really like writing letters. What would he say about texting? Not to say you can't text, but it's just so non-face-to-face. And so my point is that the face is just so important for us. And we read as much in a person's face, as we read in their words, maybe more. Which leads to the next point, point number two. God has a face. Think about that. God actually has a face. It's prophesied in Revelation 22 of you. It says, "They will see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Jesus says in Matthew 18, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Can you just imagine that? What does God's face look like? We're not supposed to make graven images, but let's just imagine right now, at this very instant, what if you could see God's face in heaven like the angels that watch over you can see him? What does he look like? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, John sees an image, a vision of Christ. It says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow," like many of yours. No, just kidding, no. "His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Just think about seeing that. Paul, when he saw Jesus, fell on his face from the power of Jesus' face on the road to Damascus when it flashed around him like lightning. Would you like to see God's face? I would. So the next question is then, why can't we see it? Why can't we see him now? Well, we can't see God's face right now because of sin. It's written, "No man shall look on God and live." The angels can because they don't have sin. Moses wanted to. Let's read about that in Exodus 33 for just a second. The Lord said, it says, Moses said to the Lord, "I pray thee, show me thy glory. I want to see your face, God." And he said, God said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious and will show mercy on whom I'll show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand upon the rock. And while my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Wow. Picture that. God was protecting him from his glory. Moses wanted to see it, but he says, "You can't see it now because you would not be able to live because of its glory, its brightness, its holiness, its brilliance." What an amazing thing then that we'll one day see God's face in heaven. St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, was once accosted by a heathen, an unbeliever, who showed Augustine his little idol, and he said, "Here is my God, show me yours." And Augustine answered, "I cannot show you my God, not because there is no God to show, but because you have no eyes to see him." Right now, you can see Jesus by faith. You can see God with your spirit and your soul. But you cannot see him yet with the eyes of the flesh, because as Paul says in Romans 7, he says, "Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin which dwells within me." In other words, we do all. Everybody in this sanctuary still has sin in their flesh. And so your flesh cannot yet see God, because if you were to look on God, you would die. Plain and simple. "Though the eye made blind by sin, thy glory may not see," we just sang. But we want to see God's face. We want to put a face with the name and the words, don't we? Well, here's some good news. God actually gives people glimpses of his glory. He's done that. Moses, he hid in the cleft of a rock. Abraham met the Lord with two angels before the angels destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Joshua met a man on the road to Jericho with a drawn sword, who is the Lord of hosts. Gideon and Samson's parents saw the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus pre-incarnate. Jacob, at the river Jabbok, wrestled with a man in the dark all through the evening until the breaking of day. But as light was coming and he could almost see his face, the man departed after giving him a blessing. That was the angel of the Lord, God the Son, Jesus. And also Isaiah, Ezekiel, and John saw God on his throne. So God gives us glimpses. You know what that means to me? That means God wants to be seen. He wants you to see him. He just can't show himself to you in his fullness of his glory yet. But he wants to, and you want to. It's just got to be at the proper time. And God also says to David, David says to the Lord, "You have said, seek my face. And my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." God wants us to seek his face that we might see him. What happens when we sin? It says, at least of an unbeliever, "Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry," says God. "I struck him, I hid my face and was angry, but he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart." And then Job, it says, "Then man prays to God and he accepts him. He sees his face with a shout of joy, and he restores to man his righteousness." Do you feel in your life right now like you can see God's face? If you're in Christ, you have God's favor. And his face smiles and shines upon you. And when it does, it fills us with the fullness of joy. But sometimes in life, we feel like his face is hidden. And how we're dismayed. How dreadful that is, isn't it? Here's then the best news of all. That God has revealed to us his face in the face of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis once said, "I was constantly seeking God. It was a cat and mouse game. I was seeking his face, I was going after him, and God kept eluding me until finally I found him. And when I found him, I found out that all along, I had been the mouse and he had been the cat seeking me." God seeks us out. He says in Isaiah, "I have been found by those who did not seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me." The only way you can see God is if he reveals himself to us, shows it. And he's done that for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He says, "Then if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him." And the disciples are like, "What?" Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Show us God and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." It says in 2 Corinthians 4, "For the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If you know Jesus Christ by faith, you have seen the face of God, at least partially, at least in the eyes of your heart. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So we're always of good courage, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Can you see God with you in your life? Can you actually behold him with the eyes of your heart as you're going through your day, seeing the Lord going before you? Because he's promised, "I'm with you always, to the close of your age." Faith can, to the close of your age, to the close of the age, and to the close of your age. God is with you, and you can see him. Moses, it says of him, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can you see him right now? What did Jesus promise? Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. How many Christians are there in this room? More than two or three. Do you know that Jesus is right here with us? God the Father is right here with us. Can you see him by faith? Beholding him right now? How about when you leave here and go through your week? Can you see him? David says, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. When you see God's face, it changes you, doesn't it? I'd like to tell you a story. When I was a boy, one of the great memories of my childhood, I was probably second grade. I wasn't afraid of the sea in those days. And my dad and I wanted to go out on a little 14-foot sunfish. And it was blowing over 20 knots. The wind was dead offshore. And we went screaming off the land about 3 miles out toward an island about 5 miles out in the ocean. We're plunging our little boat underneath the waves. It's entirely covered with water. Finally, when we decided to turn around, my dad gets the idea, you know, we better get back to land. We had trouble turning the boat around, but coming about. And I started to get worried. I thought, will I ever see the face of my sister Karen again? Will I ever see my mom's face? But then I looked at my dad's face, and I heard his reassuring words. He was confident. He said, we'll get there. And I took comfort and encouragement from that. And we made it back to land, not exactly to our beach. We got as far as close as we could. I had to run home. Dad tried to sail the boat. The helicopter, the Coast Guard was over him. All those kinds of stuff. I was happy to see my mom's face again. My dad was not so happy. Okay. You did what with my son? You took him where? But my point is, when we behold the face of our Father, it changes us. And our face becomes like his. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, all of us with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the God, this is by faith, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When you live your life, seeing Jesus before you by faith, seeing the Father's glory with you, wherever you are, by faith, you're being changed. Your face becomes confident like his is. And you know, like David, that you shall not be shaken because you keep the Lord always before you and his grace is with you. Moses spent a lot of time with God on the mountain. He came down. He didn't even realize he was being changed. But when he came down from the mountain, the people drew back in fear because Moses glowed. And how about the disciples? It says, the rulers of the Jews saw the boldness of Peter and John, and when they perceived they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Let's rejoice in this today, that we see God face to face, and we have his grace in Jesus Christ through his cross. What would it be like to see God's face, but not have Jesus on your side, not have his blood covering your sins? No man shall look on him and live, right? How about if your soul is infested and infected with sin? Shall that soul live? Well, it says in Revelation 6 of the wicked, of people who have denied Christ at the end when he comes back for judgment. It says the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals, the rich and the strong, and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand before it? But guess what? Since you have seen Christ and believed in him, you have forgiveness of all of your sins. And that frown, that righteous frown of God, is now to you a smile. God's face smiles upon you. Do you know that if figuratively to take out his wallet, there'd be a picture of you in there? He loves to see your face. Every little artwork, every little piece of good that you do, he puts on his figurative refrigerator in heaven, being your Father. He loves you. And I want you to see his face. If you're in Christ, and I know you are, believing in him, his face is overjoyed. It's effervescent. It's overflowing grace and love towards you. And one day we'll see him face to face. Right now you can see him by faith, but our eyes can't see him. But one day you will. It's promised. Now when Naomi was in the womb, my little daughter, 11 years ago, when she was growing inside of Beth, I loved her. I prayed for her. I'd talk right up to Beth's tummy. Naomi, I love you. And all kinds of wonderful things like that. Of course, I didn't know a boy or girl at the time. But if I wanted her to see my face, I loved her. I wanted her to see her face. But if I rushed it, she could die. I had to wait till it was the right time. And while she was in the womb, all the while, I sang to her. And her favorite tune was, as I've said before, Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. You and your arithmetic, they'll probably go far. And she's moving around, enjoying. That was her favorite song by far, we could tell. But one day she was born, and she came out, and she was just seeing the world for the first time. And then I sang that song to her again. Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. And she looked over, and she saw my face. She could even turn her neck on her first day of birth. And she turned and saw the face for the first time of the man who loved her and sang to her and spoke to her all that time while she knew me yet couldn't see me. Friends, that's exactly like us. Is right now we hear his voice singing to us, speaking to us, we know him, and yet one day we'll turn, and actually when we're born into heaven, when we're resurrected from the dead on the last day, we'll see his face, even with these physical eyes, glorified. We'll see his face, and on the day of the death, by spirit, our spirit, on the day of our death, we'll see his face. For Jesus says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day." And then Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, for at the last I'll stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." And Peter says, "Though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls." To look on God is to have life, because when God looks on you, everything he looks on in favor springs to life, and you've been made alive and with joy in Christ Jesus. So look to him and be radiant. Beloved, we're God's children now. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and confess our faith out loud. The words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.